All right, let's take a look at stock worksheet number two. Again, we're going to do looking at the different markets and seeing if we can figure out which stocks belong where. For the following stocks, name the exchange or market: the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, which is now called the New York Stock Exchange, MKT. Sorry, I spelled it wrong on the other one. The NASDAQ or the OTC bulletin boards or pink sheets that you believe the stock could be expected to be found on. Microsoft. Microsoft. Right, right. There's a lot of Microsoft jokes, which we won't go into now, but they're a high-tech company, right? At least that's what they call themselves. Getting the feeling I have a little anger. Yes, Mike. Yes, I do. But anyway, because my laptop won't work. I'm using my old one because I can't get my new one to work. All this new technology and nothing works right. NASDAQ, of course. Right. MSoft. New York Stock Exchange is holding that letter M for them. Come on, guys. Come on over, and we'll give you the letter M for your symbol. And Microsoft says, no, thanks. We're happy on the NASDAQ. General Electric, oh boy, right, the bluest of the blue chips, been around for over 125, I forget how long, but a long time, the big board, New York Stock Exchange. Number three, Flim Flam Incorporated. It is a real company, folks. Yeah, they're a real company, and I think this year they're coming out with their left-handed smoke shifter, which is going to sell really well, not like the right-handed smoke shifter, which burn down some people's houses. But anyway, where would you find the Flim Flam Incorporated? On the OTC bulletin board or the OTC pink sheets. Is it a real company? No, it's somebody's garage in Idaho somewhere, and they're going to try to sell you the shares at 1 penny, thinking it's going to go up to 4 pennies, and then it goes to 0.000004 pennies. At least they got the four right. Number four, AMD. AMD, not ADM. AMD, who are they? Well, chances are you have a computer that has a processor made by AMD. They're the only competitor to Intel in the PC world. That doesn't mean that Intel doesn't have any competitors for processors. They do on the mobile market. But in the PC world, you might have a Pentium or some such processor in your computer, but you might have an AMD processor. And they're good processors, folks. The company is always on the verge of falling apart, but they're great processors, don't get me wrong. And where would you find this? It's a tech company, right? Yeah, but swing and a miss. It's on the New York Stock Exchange, or at least it used to be. I hope it's still there. They're always in danger of getting in trouble there. How about the Diamond ETF, number five? What's that ETF again? Exchange Traded Fund. Diamond is the nickname for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because DIA is the symbol for the Dow. So again, we're going to say the Amex, the New York Stock Exchange market, but you could actually just put everywhere, because these things are now traded on the New York Stock Exchange, on the NASDAQ, on all the alternative exchanges. They're traded everywhere. And number six, International Paper. What do they make? Well, paper, right? Well, when you're a paper company, what else do you make? Building products, right? Because wood is a byproduct, timber is a byproduct of paper, and paper is a byproduct of wood. When you're making paper, you're also making wood products. And so they make building products. Right, old blue chip company based on the New York Stock Exchange. Good. And if you don't believe me, or you want to check that I make sure I got it right, you go check them out on Bloomberg or Yahoo or wherever. Second group. Now here you have to have gone through the presentation that describes the different types of stocks, and they're just a few of the different types, but they're the major groups of stocks that we discussed in the presentation. And so for the following stocks, we want to name the type of stock that you believe best fits the stock. Blue chip, right, the biggest of the big. The income stocks, the growth stocks, cyclical defensive turnaround, sometimes called goners. Asset plays, where there's something behind the stock. Foreign, international, or penny. So where would you put Ford? Well, before the downturn of 2008, it was a blue chip, right, and it was a cyclical blue chip because it's a an automobile company. But now where do you put them? Well, folks, they've pretty much come back, right? But they're still, I don't know if we'd take them out of the turnaround category. But it's really interesting, if you're following this, the gentleman who's really has done a great job. I mean, he's a smart guy. Jim Mullally, is that how you say his last name? I'm not sure. He just announced that he's going to retire next year, and oh boy, everybody started running for the exit. They thought, oh no, Ford's going to fall back into the porcelain oasis because it's really come back from the dead. And we'll see. We're not done yet. We're not out of this yet. We still got hundreds of thousands of foreclosures to go through. So, but it sure looks like Ford's going to, at least here in the United States. Outside the United States, they're having a little harder time. But here in the United States, Ford's doing pretty good. How about 8? What do you do with Walmart? Right. I think they took away the little hyphen now. It's just Walmart, one word. Blue chip, of course, right? They're in the Dow. They're the world's largest retailer. As a retailer, what else can we say about them? Are they cyclical? Well, in general, retail is cyclical with the economy, but they were actually helped by the last downturn because of their guarantee or their emphasis on low prices. So a lot of people went to them. So they actually, they still got hurt. Everybody got hurt. But they actually did better than a whole lot of the retailers in the recession. Now, how about $5? I'm sorry, $4. Starbucks, right. What are they? Well, up until a few years ago, they were the poster child for growth companies. We're going to have 40,000 Starbucks stores within the next 15 years. They had 10 or 12,000 or something like that. And they announced, and I'm thinking, where are they going to put these things? They already have them on two corners, right? They have them facing one another if you go downtown. You're going to put them on top of one another? What is the deal? And really amazing turnaround. Within a year and a half of saying that, or a year, they then said, oh, you know what? We're actually going to close 600. And so their growth strategy was reevaluated, wasn't it? Right? Are they still a growth company? Well, they like to think so, and so do many other people. But I'm kind of worried personally. We could discuss these at length, but I still think why would you spend $5 for something that's worth $1 or something? But that's why I call them $5. So you're talking to the wrong person. I'm not a big fan of Starbucks. I don't drink coffee either. I like the smell. I can't stand the taste, and caffeine makes me. I'm already pretty nervous. Question number 10. Sears, Kmart. Did you know that Sears and Kmart are the same company? Yeah, they joined forces. And you take two people drowning and you throw them a life preserver to each, and connect a rope to both of them. Yeah, I don't know, folks. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't want to invest in them. You're driving down H Street, you Chula Vista folks, or you're taking your bus or bike down H Street, and which parking lot is more full, the Costco parking lot or the Kmart parking lot right next to? Yeah, I think I'd be a little reticent to invest in Sears Kmart. So let's call it a turnaround, but if we were going to call it an impolite company, we'd say it's a goner. We'll see. Number 11, General Mills, not General Electric, General Mills, not General Dynamics, General Mills. What do they make? Cheerios, Wheaties, right, they make cereal. And as such, they are a defensive company, indeed. The economy does well, do you eat more Cheerios? The economy does badly, eat less Cheerios? Maybe you buy the store brand, but no. So they're also a blue chip company, right? They're venerable old blue chip company on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, how about Union Pacific Railroad? Railroads, transportation, right, cyclical. Indeed, they're cyclical companies because they do well when there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be moved around, and they don't do as so well when there's not as much stuff. But what else can we say about railroads? Here's where you got to do your research. Right, they're an asset play. What are you talking about, Piano? What are railroads sitting on that was given to them 160 years ago, 170 years, Right, land. They own a tremendous amount of land. They own a big chunk of downtown San Diego, and right where they're going to build another stadium at the cost of almost $2 billion for you San Diego residents. I know they're going to hit us with a huge bill. I just know it. Anyway, that's Union Pacific. How about Michelin? Do you own Michelin tires? You probably do, even though maybe you don't. You think you don't. You own Uniroyal. They're Michelin. BF Goodrich. They're Michelin. Who else Michelin owns? Maybe not. If you own Firestone or Bridgestone, that's a Japanese company. And then who else is big? But Michelin, where are they based? Do you know where? They're a multinational company based all around the world, but they're actually based in France, Michelin. And it's a foreign or international company. Alcoa, Aluminum Corporation of America. What do they make? Tin cans. Well, they're not tin, folks. They're aluminum. And they make all kinds of materials based on aluminum. And aluminum is a very important material in a developed economy. So it's a blue chip. Yeah, they're on the Dow. It's been around forever. And it's also cyclical. Why? Because it makes stuff that other stuff is made out of. They make materials. So when the economy does well, there's more need for aluminum, and when the economy does poorly, there's less need. How about El Paso Natural Gas? What do you think? They're like the El Paso San Diego Gas and Electric. Right. So they're defensive because what? You need to keep the lights on. You need to keep the water heated and the house heated, and you're not going to be taking cold showers in the dark. So they're defensive. But what else can we say about a natural gas company? Right, they have an asset. All that stuff sitting in the ground. Now, SDG&E sold it all. Right? They got rid of it all, and now all they do is sell the electricity and the gas. They don't own any more of it. But they have subsidiaries that are involved in certain things. So it's also an asset play. Utilities sometimes are asset plays. Okay, so that's the second group. Now, third group, we discussed some measurements in the presentation. Price-to-earnings ratio, dividend payout ratio, dividend yields. These calculations are not hard, folks. The formulas are pretty darn easy, so make sure you have them in front of you. And so Widgets Incorporated, Widgets, that's a joke for they make things, is currently selling for $50. Its earnings last year were $3.50 per share, and it is paying a dividend of $2 per share. So let's compute the following. Price to earnings ratio, or P/E. And so, look, it's written price divided by earnings, right? You take the price divided by earnings, so $50 divided by $3.50, excuse me. And so do that on your calculator. Did you do it? Okay, it's 14.2857, about 14.3. Is that a high P/E? Not particularly. Is it low? It's a little on the low. Not that low. It's about normal. And so what are investors saying about this company? They're pretty happy about its prospects. They're not ecstatic. They don't think it's going to explode. But they're pretty happy with it. They're not real down on it. Next group, dividend payout. Oh, by the way, don't put a percent sign after it. Don't put a dollar sign. P/E is unit list. No units, unit list. Number 17, dividend payout ratio. Did you find the formula? Dividends divided by earnings. Right, so you take the $2 in dividends divided by $3.50, and your calculator will tell you that that's 0.571429, or about 57%. And you could write it as 0.5714. That's right, that's fine. Or you could write it as 57%. That's up to you. All right, so go right ahead how you want to write it. Keep it as a decimal or write it as a percentage sign. And is that typical for a company that's already through its growth spurt and it's now making money and paying out in dividends? That's pretty healthy. They're paying out about 57, almost 60% of their earnings in the form of dividends. They're rewarding the shareholders now for their continuing operations. And they don't need all that cash to grow the company. Last one, dividend yield. You got the formula for that? That's the dividend divided by the price. So in other words, that allows us to look at it as if it were a savings account or a bond or some other interest paying. But they're not interest. It's a different, it's legally, dividends are not interest payments. They're taxed differently. They're considered different types of payments. So you take the dividends divided by price, and you get $2 divided by $50, or 0.04, or 4%. Now, maybe this is not a good example because it's a whole number. When you print out, when you write a dividend yield, you at least want to include one decimal place to the right of the decimal point. Don't round off to whole integers, to whole numbers. At least leave one, maybe even two, but one is good enough. So this case is probably not a good example because it's a whole number. But make sure you don't round to a whole number. Round to one decimal place, or maybe even two decimal places. Okay? So, do this over again. Make sure you can do these. Because there might be something like this on an exam. You never know. You just never know. Okay, see you next worksheet.